Please rise.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is the Holy Gospel, as Jonathan has read. And the theme for us this morning is so, so important for each and every one of you. The theme this morning, Jesus prays. He prays for you. Please be seated. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, I was certainly amazed right after this pastor, your pastor, was married to his wonderful wife. I was sitting in a little reception, all the men together. We were having a great time together, lots of noise and a lot of other things going on. And then suddenly the door opens and there's dead silence. That's because my father-in-law walked in the room. All the other men clammed up. They immediately rose to their feet and they greeted him. If they were smoking a cigarette, the cigarette immediately was extinguished, even if they had just lit the cigarette. I was amazed. Yes, I'd seen similar things like this in the military, but never in a family like this. After my father-in-law came in and sat down, my wife's older brother began talking to him, and her second brother, who speaks English very well, leans over to me and says, "One must always show reverence to his father and his elders. It's because we love him and he loves us." And he also said, "You see, we love him and revere him because he loves and reveres us." Those words I have never forgotten. I have never forgotten those words. And when I read our text this morning, how does Jesus revere his father? How does Jesus show awe and respect for his father? By calling him holy. Holy Father. Jesus is showing a deep, abiding reverence for his father. Knowing that the love of his father, Jesus now asks that this same love would keep and guard his disciples, of whom the Father had given to Jesus. This is showing a deep and lasting respect, reverence, love, awe for the Father. The same love that we also have for our Heavenly Father. David wrote prior to this, "Save me, O God, by your name. Vindicate me by your might. Hear my prayer, O God. Listen to the words of my mouth." David wrote those words many, many years before Jesus prayed this prayer. But in our text this morning, those words reminded me of what David said, for that's exactly what Jesus was saying. He was calling upon the name, calling upon the name that is above every name. And by no other name are you saved. It is the name that protects you from the evil one. We know that name. Jesus used it quite often. When he said, "I am," he was saying the name, Yahweh. And Jesus was given the name. You all know that. Yeshua. That's the name God saves. The name of God, as Jesus has told us. That's the name that shows us. This is the name that has power. This is the name that has power over the devil, over sin. And this is the name that has power over your greatest enemy, spiritual death. Jesus prays for his disciples. And since you too are disciples, Jesus prays for you today. In the text we hear that he prays to his Father that he will protect, so that they will continue, so that they may be always one. It's his great desire that we, his children, be one as the Father and the Son are one. But we must be careful here. As we explained to our adult Bible class, there are people who are teaching that, oh, you can ascend into heaven spiritually in a mystical sense and you could join yourself with God. That is rank heresy, false teaching, mysticism. It's a lie. No, Jesus and the Father as one is a unity of Trinity. It's because they both are God and also the Holy Spirit. You and I aren't members of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, that's the Trinity. Now, we are connected to Jesus, and you've heard that over the last couple of weeks, that we remain in Him, that we abide in Him, because we are connected to Him. We are grafted into the vine. But that doesn't make us of the same essence with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. No, what it does is it connects you and I together in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thanks be to Jesus. That's why you and I can call each other brother and sister. And I do it with great joy. My friends, Jesus and the oneness of His Father is also a great joy to you and me. You see, Jesus used the Father's name. He used His name to protect His disciples. And we know, yes, we know that it worked. No one was lost except one. Psalm 41 tells us, "Even my closest friend, whom I trusted, he who shared my bread, has lifted his heel against me." Jesus' closest friend, the one whom he trusted with all the finances of the group, the one whom he shared bread with there in the upper room, his friend, his trusted friend, lifted his heel against him. He lifted his heel in betrayal. In the ancient Orient, to show your foot, the dirty side of your foot, to your friend or to anyone was a great insult. You're calling them dirt. And here we see in these words of Psalm that the psalmist is saying that there would be one who would turn his heel up to Jesus and betray him. This man, as Jesus said, was doomed to destruction. Not because of what Jesus did. Not because Jesus failed to protect him. No, this man willfully turned his back on his Lord and Savior. He willfully betrayed Jesus. And we know his name, Judas Iscariot. Even as Jesus was praying here in the Garden of Gethsemane, Judas was leading soldiers from the temple to Gethsemane to arrest Jesus. And when they find him, this evil man walks up to his friend and kisses him, a sign of respect, a sign of reverence that is quite common in the Orient. And Jesus, still in his love for this betrayer, calls him friend. Friend, do what you came for. For Jesus knew that Judas had now fulfilled Holy Scripture. Even this brazen act of betrayal, Jesus was merciful and he was kind. He desired that Judas would repent. Oh, it's true. It's certainly true that Judas went back to the temple and he cast the 30 silver coins at the priest, but he went to the wrong priest. He sought absolution from the wrong priest. Instead of Judas going to the right priest and seeking true absolution, he looked to the wrong leader. My friends, we see this in our life too. We see this in the life of our friends. We see this in the life of the world. Everyone is chasing after the wrong priest. Everyone's chasing after the wrong word. Everyone wants to go their own way, just like Judas. Judas wanted to go his own way. Judas was looking for a different kind of Messiah. And when we do that, we are following the evil one. We are following the one who will put the shackles and the chains of sin, death, and destruction upon us. And by those chains, Satan grabs hold of them and drags us right into hell with him. No, you are here today. You are here today because the Holy Spirit has led you here to seek the true priest, your true high priest, who has died for you and who can and does forgive you of all your sins. That's the law portion of this pericope, of the readings today. The rest of this pericope, the rest of the readings of the Holy Gospel is all gospel. Thanks be to Jesus. We see that Jesus is joyfully praying that his time has come. It's time for Jesus to complete his work. And when he completes his work, he will go back to his Father in heaven. Yet, my friends, as sweat ran down his face and fell to the ground as drops of blood, he prayed that his disciples might have the fullness of his joy in themselves. Can you grasp that? Jesus, in his anguish, knows he's about to die, but he prays for joy. The joy that his disciples will have because he will complete his work right here. He did this for his disciples. He did this for his disciples. And this is his great joy, that he has saved you. And he has given you this great joy, that you too can serve your fellow men, your fellow Christians. You can serve your wife. You can serve your children. You can serve your husband. You can serve fellow members here at Zion. That should bring great joy to us, for Jesus has also done this great work of forgiving us of our sins so that we can do his work and proclaim his gospel. Yet Jesus tells you that the world will hate you. That's pretty obvious, isn't it? All you have to do is turn on the boob tube, turn it to the news, and you'll see the hatred of Christians. Not only in the Middle East, it's happening here in America right now. The world is turning against you. The world hates you because they know you love Jesus. And the world hates Jesus. You see, by his word, you have been consecrated. You have been sanctified. You have been set apart to do a special work. And the world hates that. Satan doesn't want you to proclaim the gospel. Satan doesn't want you to work for Jesus. Satan doesn't want you to have anything to do with your Lord and Savior. He wants you to denounce God. He wants you to be like Judas. As Scripture tells us, Judas left to go where he belongs. Satan wants you to leave Jesus, to walk away from him, to go where you belong. He wants you to belong to him and be in hell with him. So that you can withstand all of this. And my friends, we cannot withstand by ourselves. You can endure because Jesus prays for you. Because he stands at the right hand of the Father, and there he protects you by defending you, by interceding for you, by telling your heavenly Father, I have died for that man or for that woman, for my dear brother or sister's sin. I have died for them. Their sin is forgiven. And the Father says, amen, amen. Their sin is forgiven. Scripture tells us, we know that everyone who's been born of God does not keep on sinning. But he who is born of God protects them. And the evil one does not touch them. Yes, my friends, you and I, we are under severe temptation. Kindle, as she heard, now has a bullseye painted on her heart, and Satan will come after her because she has confessed Jesus to be her Savior. But have no fear. Kindle, have no fear. All of you, even myself, we should have no fear because we have one who defends us. We have one who stands at the right hand of God and says to his Father, I have died. Satan has no power. They are mine. And when he says that, he is speaking of you and he's speaking of me. So Jesus closes this morning by using some very, very important words for us. Sanctify them in the word. Your word is truth. Before John wrote this 17th chapter, in the 8th chapter, he wrote these words. If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth. You will know the truth, and the truth sets you free. You see, the word is your only source of holiness, your only source of saving power, your only source of saving faith. It's in God's word. And since Jesus is the Logos, Jesus is the word, Jesus is the truth. You don't need to look for truth anywhere else. You only need to look for truth here. Here is where Jesus is. Here is where Jesus is. Here is where he serves you the truth. Here is where he proclaims to you the truth. And because you live in the truth, because you hear the truth and you believe the truth, you will live, my dear friends. You will live because you know the truth, and the truth has set you free. Yes, the truth has set each and every one of you free. And Jesus has done this for you. Out of his love, his great love for you, he has sanctified you and set you apart at your baptism. And he continues to feed you, to guide you by the power of the Holy Spirit. As you receive his body and blood, as you hear the preached word, you're being sanctified. You're being set apart. You're being reserved for the work that God has given you to do. You're no longer a sin. You're no longer a slave to sin. You're no longer a slave to death. And you are no longer a slave to Satan. So why in the world would you want to follow him? You've been set free. Free to live a life of service, a life of service to Jesus, and a life of service to your fellow Christian. So therefore, in reverence and in great awe and love to him, Jesus prayed to his Father. He prayed that he will set us apart, that he will forgive us of our sins. And that's exactly what you hear today. You hear Jesus praying for you. And he prays that all your sin, each and every one of your sins, forgiven by the blood of the Lamb. Thanks be to Jesus. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.